The book of James. As we come in this study of praying in faith, and by the way, Matt and Patty, it just blesses my heart to see y'all here tonight. I have it listed down here to pray for you, Matt. And we're going to pray that the therapy continues to go well, but we're going to give thanks to God just to get to see your face tonight. James chapter 5, praying in faith. Effective, fervent prayer is how we know it in the English. We're going to begin tonight to look at this verse 16b, the second part of James 5, 16. We looked last week at the confession matter. We're going to begin to look at it tonight. We will not finish looking at this part of the verse. We'll have to come back next week, God willing, and delve into it some more. But if you found James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20, stand with me, if you would, and follow along in your Bibles as I read these verses. They should be familiar to you by now. We're in the 13th installment of considering these verses. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. I know that you believe we have just read the inerrant, infallible, all-sufficient Word of God. And may the Lord begin by His Spirit to unpack for us this second part of this verse 16 tonight, that the reality taught in it might increasingly be a reality in our own personal prayer lives and corporate prayer lives. Thank you. Be seated. Just a quick touch to keep the outline before you. There's the consideration of prayer and suffering in verse 13, the consideration of prayer and sickness in verse 14, the consideration of the prayer of faith in verse 15, then the consideration of praying for one another and confession in verse 16a, the first part of verse 16. Then there's the consideration of effective, fervent prayer in verse 16b. We're going to begin to look at that tonight. Next, the consideration of prayer in Elijah's example, an Old Testament example of the New Testament truth being taught here. And then finally, the consideration of prayer implied and recovering the wayward, verses 19 to 20. Of this second part of verse 16, John Blanchard says that the words contained in the last part, this phrase not only lies in the center of the wider section of the prayer, verses 13 to 18, but it lies at the very heart of everything the section teaches. It is the hub around which it all revolves, the rock on which it is built. It is the vital doctrinal basis from which all the practical implications flow. He has said that very well, because this part of the verse is, if you can speak responsibly, of keys to a passage. This part of the verse is the key to the passage. So, we're going to begin tonight considering this effective, fervent prayer. The text says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And we will come back next week, Lord willing, and we will look at the intensity necessary in prayer, which is, I think, is taught in this part of the verse, the integrity necessary for prayer, and then the energy necessary for prayer. We'll look at how this comes into the fore in this verse. And it's not obvious when we read it in our English language. But what I want to do tonight, for just a few minutes, is think about how this verse is translated, how this portion of the verse is translated in several different translations. I don't know how many we have represented here tonight. I preach from the New King James Version. If you're like me, if you grew up in a context where you were privileged to memorize Scripture, taught to memorize Scripture, then you probably memorize this in the King James like I was taught to memorize it in the King James. And the King James version of this says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And when you lay that down next to the New King James version, which came in to take away some of the Elizabethan English, where words like availeth and saith and the thous and the these, and to take those and put them into the common tongue. By the way, parenthetically, you do know that in 1611, when the King James Version was written, that it was written, that the introductory, the dedicatory preface said it was thought right and wise to produce a version of the Scripture not in a language that would transcend time because of its angelic poetic flow. That's not what it says in the dedicatory preface. It says it was thought wise to introduce a version, a translation of Scripture in the, remember the word used? I know we probably don't spend a lot of time reading the dedicatory preface of our King James Bibles, but the word is in the vulgar tongue. Remember that? The vulgar tongue. That's a word that's kind of lost it in our day. I mean, if I say I'm going to share something vulgar with you, you will reach out and grab your children's ears. The vulgar tongue simply means the common tongue. The tongue, the language of the common man. The King James Version in 1611 was written in the language of the common man. We sometimes forget that. Well, other translations have made the attempt. Some fared better than others to produce a faithful and reliable translation. I'm not going to get into textual criticism tonight in terms of formal and dynamic equivalency and all that's involved in that. But the attempts have been made to give us the Bible in our vulgar tongue, in our common language. So the New King James Version says this very closely: "The effective," not effectual, "effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails," not availeth, "avails much." It simply has turned the language into something that might be a little more recognizable to common readers today. The American Standard Version, which was produced in 1901, just at the turn of the 20th century. The ASV says, "The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working." And that translation is really getting to wrestling with some of the nuances that are going to be important for us to understand in order to have this verse grip us as it was given by the Holy Spirit to James in the Greek language. The supplication. We will see that the word for prayer is not the most common word used for prayer in the New Testament. The word for prayer used here is the word that would have been used of supplicating or entreating or appealing to or begging a monarch to act with benevolence. And the ASV picked that up in 1901. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much and it's working. And there's another on the end of the verse there, something that the ASV picked up so that we can wrestle with. All right, then the New American Standard Version, which is the version of a lot of people. It's a wonderful translation. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Again, trying to get a handle on, trying to communicate the tail end of this verse, what's being said at the end here. And then the New International Version, which various people have different ideas about the New International Version. I had a fellow one time, I was preaching at Clinton, Louisiana. At that time, I used the New International Version. We were on the radio, and a man sent a pastor to me because he said, you need to go talk with this fellow. If you know him, plead with him. He's not preaching from the Bible. Well, the guy did it. He came and talked to me, and we... But it fascinated me when I was in seminary and the New International Version was on the horizon, that my Greek professor would say, now, our English translations say this, 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 but the sense of what the Greek says here is, and when he would give us the sense of the Greek, by the way, I'm going to confess something to you at the time. At the time, I had in my possession an interlinear edition of the New Testament. Now, if you've been to seminary, Brother Bob knows what an interlinear is. Brother Charles knows what that is. They frowned on those. It's a Greek translation that has the English words underneath it, and then over on the in this margin it had two or three other translations. The New International Version being one of them. So when my professor would say, "Now the Greek here goes da 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 da," but if you want to get the flow of what it's saying, and he would read it, and it was more often than not what the New International Version said. It's a freer flowing, but often pegs the essence, the nuances of the Greek. The New International Version says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The New Living Translation, a little bit on the edge here. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And that's a fair handling of this verse. The New Revised Standard Version. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. The Holman Christian Standard Bible, which is the translation printed by Lifeway Christian Resources, or Holman Bible Division of Lifeway Christian Resources, a Southern Baptist contribution, but all very conservative, very skilled exegetical scholars worked on this translation committee. The intense prayer of the righteous is very powerful. Now, what the Holman has done is focused in on this, trying to get a picture of the prayer here. The intense prayer, and that's helpful to us in understanding this verse. The English Standard Version, which has been popularized by the folks at Ligonier in their in the more easily accessible Reformation Study Bible, is in the ESV. My Reformation Study Bible is in the New King James. You can still get them that way, but most places you go today, if you find a Reformation Study Bible, it's in the English Standard Version. And John Piper uses the English Standard Version. So you can imagine how this has been popularized across young adults, college age kids. It's an excellent version, by the way. It says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And there again, this translation is focusing in upon the end of the verse, what's being said at the end of the verse. And if you're familiar with Greek word studies, Kenneth Wiest has a set of Greek word pictures, he calls them, word pictures of the New Testament. And in every section, he would have an expanded, what he calls his expanded translation, from nuancing the significance of the Greek words, their moods, their voices, their tenses. And he says this, a prayer of a righteous person is able to do much as it operates. And so you see he's looking at this, the able to do much as it operates, looking at the flow, the force of the prayer. And then the next one is a Greek translation, which won't mean anything to most of you, and it means even less because the Greek font wasn't working, and so it's just a bunch of English, a poor attempt at an English transliteration. Next week we'll get the Greek font working, and we'll have it up for you. But I wanted to, I put that up because I want you to see in the word order If you could see it, the word POLU is much or many. The next word, it's hard to even read in the English, is this word is effective. Then it goes on. There's a word there for a righteous man. A word there for prayer, which is the unusual word. We told you about it. And then the last word is an energy, a word that would, if you could see it, would spell out energume. When you take what the Greek text says, and you consider these translations of it, of this second part of verse 16. Here's my best attempt at what this verse is saying. Much is accomplished, and many powerful effects are experienced when a man who is morally and spiritually right with God engages in earnest prayer offered as entreaty or supplication through which God is working. Now that is the flow, a fairly close fitting of the Greek words and the flow of that there. And you can see to get the sense of them, you've had to go from just a few Greek words to 2.5 lines in English. But look at that a minute. You see, the writer of James has been telling us about prayer in this passage. And he's taught us many things that ought to make us hopeful about prayer as it relates to suffering, and prayer as it relates to sickness, and prayer as it relates to sin, prayer as it relates to the effects of sin that call for confession and forgiveness. And he wants us to understand, he wants his readers to know that when prayer is engaged in, and when it is engaged in by people who are right with God, we're going to see in the next week, we'll look at some verses that say, basically, God doesn't hear the prayers of the wicked. And when prayer is earnestly engaged in, and we realize who it is we're coming before, and we intensely and earnestly plead with him, not as some of the teachers have said, oh, have you heard anybody say this? You don't come and beg God for something. You're a child of God. You can come and almost demand it. I'm your son. I want the folks, that completely misses to whom it is that we pray. God delights not only in his children recognizing that we are weak and he is strong, and we are needy and he is not, and we can ask and he can give. Not only does he delight in that, he delights in his children recognizing him for who he has revealed himself to be. So the word for pray is entreat. When we come to him, not begging because we think he's hesitant to give, but begging because we know that in and of ourselves we are beggars. We are beggars left to ourselves. That the God who showed us grace in saving us is merciful, abounding in merciful, and that we need his grace today as much as we did the day he snatched us out of the pit. He delights when saved sinners entreat him that way. And prayer that is offered by people who have not only been made right with God, that's the spiritual aspect of being right with God. But as this verse addresses, who morally are right with God, who know that He, having put His name upon us, that we bear His name, that His reputation is tied to us. And He would have us live holy because He is holy. I read a story, I may have told you this before. In the days of Alexander the Great, after one of the battles, a deserter was brought to that great conqueror, that great general, courageous, fearless, with an incredible desire to conquer the world. And they brought this young man to him and put him at his feet and said, "We found this man deserting. He ran from battle." Alexander looked at him and said, "Young man, what's your name?" And the lad, trembling, said to him, "It's Alexander." And the general looked at him again and said, "Then either change your ways or change your name." This verse teaches us that when we understand how we should approach God, and when we come, and sometimes, brethren, we have to come, first of all, saying, "Dear God, forgive me. I have sinned against You. And I'm not worthy to be called Your son. But oh, because of who You are, because of who You revealed Yourself to be, I entreat You. I beg You. I plead with You." And in that kind of an exchange, when God is at work in the prayers, we've already talked about that. That's what real praying is, by the way, is when our prayers are energized by the Spirit and we are praying according to the Spirit, when He is at work, then much is accomplished and many powerful effects are experienced. When someone who is justified, and God is at work in that. Now we're going to have, I think it's going to be delightful to unpack this verse next week, and I hope you'll come back for that. But I think we want to stop right there.